The Black Friday state of mind is not just for retailers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by MassMutual, dedicated to helping lower-income families protect their children's education with MassMutual's LifeBridge program, massmutual.com.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio from Washington today. I'll have some global perspective on business and economics in a moment. But first, is it advertising? Is it peer pressure? For whatever reason, this day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. has evolved from the day to get a jump on shopping into something larger. This mission creep involves other types of business glomming on to the sense that if you're going to spend money, why not today? Shannon Mullen reports.
For Black Friday shoppers who build up an appetite, a lot of restaurants now offer deals on the day, like Longhorn Steakhouse and Red Lobster. A growing number of hotels want a piece of the action, too.
Black Friday is not just a shopping day, but it's really a deal day.
Chucky Tandev teaches marketing and branding at Cornell's School of Hotel Administration.
So one of the reasons why hotels and restaurants are jumping on the Black Friday bandwagon, they're attempting to divert some of that spending from things to experiences.
Case in point, the Trump Hotel Collection is offering 30% off suites booked between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Eric Trump is an executive vice president with the Trump Organization.
A lot of times people are tired of the, you know, knitted sweater, for lack of a better gift, and they want that weekend in Las Vegas or Chicago or New York.
Or Bloomington, Minnesota, where the Hilton has a deal for Black Friday shoppers heading to the nearby Mall of America, including a shuttle to get them there. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
There's just been a groundbreaking for a $4 billion railway from the port of Mombasa in Kenya to the capital, Nairobi. It's the first phase of a massive rail project that could directly affect the economies of five East and Central African countries. The BBC's Emmanuel Igunza is in Nairobi.
The railway will connect four East African countries, that is South Sudan, DRC, Rwanda and Uganda, and it is one of the biggest infrastructure projects in the whole region in the past 50 years.
DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, where is the money coming for this massive project, really?
Well, the $5.2 billion that will be used in construction of the railway line will mostly be funded by China. And also, the Kenyan government has set aside in the last financial year $232 million for the construction of the line, but majority of the funding will come from the Chinese firm.
What sorts of freight? I'm thinking of coffee, tea, but what else?
Well, the construction of the railway line has started in the very vital city of Mombasa, which has the port that is relied heavily in the East African region. There are cash crops from different countries, from Uganda and also from Tanzania, that pass through the port of Mombasa, and that will be very crucial in enhancing business in the region.
The BBC's Emmanuel Igunza in Nairobi, thank you very much for this.
You're welcome.
There's also a rail project to link Ethiopia's capital, Addis, with the port of Djibouti, financed by private investors. Unlike the Mombasa line, their locomotives will come from General Electric of the U.S. and not China. Now let's check the numbers. The Nikkei in Japan is off its Thursday spike and closed down 0.4%. The FT 100 in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are up at the moment. U.S. stock markets will open on time but close early at 1 Eastern today. Hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, uses chemicals injected into the ground to break fossil fuel free from rock. Environmental concerns continue to swirl around the technique, even as the resulting fuel is moving the U.S. away from its energy dependence on the Middle East. And fracking uses a lot of chemicals, which delights the chemical industry. Reed Frazier has the story from Eastern Texas.
You know that milk jug you've got in your fridge? The plastic that went into it started its life in a place like this.
If you look up into this little peephole, you'll be able to see some of the firing that goes on within a furnace.
Andy Miller is a unit manager for BASF at the company's chemical plant in Port Arthur, Texas. He's standing underneath a 2,000-degree furnace that produces ethylene. It's the basic ingredient in most plastic. Until recently, this plant used only oil to make ethylene. But last year, BASF started using natural gas as well. Why? It's cheap. Really cheap. Because of fracking, chemical companies like BASF and Dow are spending billions to expand their plants or build new ones. Joe Chang is global editor of ICIS chemical business.
It is a huge deal. It's a great amount of expansion, all based on the premise that you're going to have these low-cost natural gas feedstocks.
Chang estimates the industry will expand in the U.S. by 38% in the next few years. Most of the jobs from this boom will be created outside the chemical plants themselves.
There's a whole lot more motels in the area. You know, the businesses stay packed. So the area around here has been booming pretty good.
Randall Delahousie is the safety director for DeBusk Services Group. The company does industrial cleaning at chemical plants and refineries around Port Arthur. Cheap gas means more plastic and more jobs here, but it may also mean more pollution. Jason Warrior lives in an apartment complex close to some of Port Arthur's refineries and chemical plants. He wonders if what's coming out of the smokestacks are the cause of his daughter's asthma. Sometimes the flares burn brightly in the middle of the night.
Probably like 2, 3 in the morning, something like that, they start burning their mouth. You'll see the whole apartment look around here just light up.
The industry says it's getting cleaner all the time. In the coming years, new plants are in the works for the Gulf Coast, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. In Port Arthur, Texas, I'm Reed Frazier for Marketplace.
And a bad report card for the Netherlands. The credit ratings agency S&P today stripped Holland of its AAA status. Dutch home prices keep falling, and unemployment is persistently high there. The only countries that use the euro that still have the top AAA ratings now are Germany, Finland, and Luxembourg. From Washington Today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.